Welcome back to the FGS podcast. This week, our very own Rachel Baylor is going to be bringing a word to us based out of 1 Peter 1:16, where Peter is actually reflecting on Leviticus, where God is asking us to be holy. Rachel's going to unpack what this word holy means and how being set apart is being distinctly different from the world around us. She's going to focus on three things to help us understand that word. So tune in, buckle up. We hope you enjoy this podcast. Have a blessed day.
Hey, guys. My name is Rachel, and I'm part of the awesome student ministry team here at Fellowship Greenville. If you've never met me, here I am. Love to meet you guys. But today I'm going to continue our series on the upside down, and I'm so excited to talk to you guys because I don't get to do it often. So it's really exciting and a pleasure. So a thing that we've been talking about for the past, I think this is our fourth week in the upside down kingdom. We've been talking about things in God's kingdom that are just kind of strange, that are just kind of weird, that people wouldn't necessarily think are normal when they become Christians. And it's also a spin off of Stranger Things, which we've talked about the past couple weeks. But I would also like to say that I'm a big fan of Stranger Things. And how relevant is it that the Stranger Things season 3 trailer came out this week? Super exciting. If you haven't seen it on Facebook or Instagram or YouTube or whatever you go on, go watch it because it's really great. And it'll make you want to see the show if you've never seen it. So a really fun thing that I love about Stranger Things is I know a guy from Clemson that's actually an extra in Stranger Things. So my friends and I, whenever we watch it, we'll like pause and like try to find Charlie in the background, and it's super fun. He's usually in Hawkins Middle School. That's usually where he is. But that's a really fun thing that we like to do. But last week when Steven taught, he asked you guys, what are some things that you love about Stranger Things? And someone in here, I don't know who it was, but they said, it's really fun that it's set in the 80s, which I also really like. I think that's really fun because I was not alive in the 80s. So it's really cool to see a different decade when you haven't been in it, and none of you guys are in the 80s either, except for some of the adults in here. So it's cool to see like all of the hair in the 80s, all of the outfits in the 80s, all the houses are somehow 80s. I don't really know how they do that, and like the cars and stuff, but I think that's really cool. So I got this picture this week from Instagram, from Millie Bobby Brown's Instagram, and that's the girl that plays, this is Eleven and Max in Stranger Things. And this was one of the promo pictures that they put up for season 3, if you've never seen it. But I just love their outfits. I think they are so fun. And if you have ever seen me at United Night, you know that I really love dressing up. It's a really fun thing that I like to do. I don't know. I think it started in high school because I feel like I wasn't confident enough in myself in middle school to dress like that. But I really love, like, whenever there's a theme or something, I love wearing weird things, like going to Goodwill and buying a weird outfit and putting it on. Because why would you not? It's so fun. And whenever there's a theme, like, I don't really understand why people don't dress up. Like, if you're not dressed up for United Night, I might come up to you and be like, Abby, why aren't you dressed up? You know? Like, why would you not dress up? So I decided to tell you guys a story from high school. My senior year of high school, I was on this club team. I don't really know what you call it, but it was called Senior Board. And that was like, we were the representatives for the senior class, and we planned everything that the seniors did. So like the senior banquet dance that we had, and then we had a senior week at the end of the school year. So it was just for seniors. We all dressed up, only 1/4 of the school, and it was really fun. So we had, like, I think we had a superhero day. We had a tacky tourist day, which was really fun. And then at the end of the week, we had, like, our college day. So you wore whatever college you were going to, go Tigers, and or whatever colleges you liked, I guess, if you weren't going to college. But the first day of the week was Monday, and that was Senior Citizen Day. So as senior board, we were, like, making posters. We were putting it in the announcements. We were doing, like, everything to get the word out about this week and about, like, dressing up and stuff. So my three best friends were also on senior board. So we went to Goodwill, bought outfits, and, like girls do, we, like, sent pictures of our outfits to each other. And we're like, look at my outfit. What does yours look like? Because you have to do that. Make sure to compare. So we get to school on Monday. Some of you guys know that my high school started at 7:15 in the morning. Ew. So we woke up early, put on our old lady outfits, went to school. Guys, we got there. and we were the only ones dressed up like old people. Like literally the only ones. There were maybe like five people, like some boys that wore polos and some girls that wore like sweaters and their glasses to make them look like old ladies. But we like, we went all out. So I pulled this picture out from the vault of high school. And these were our nice outfits. I'm pretty sure that I left that purse in the car because it was really embarrassing. And the tank top is like one of those turtleneck, like sleeveless turtlenecks that you wear in the summer. And then can you show the next one? I just need you guys to see my shoes real quick on the left. I found those at Goodwill and they were my size, but they're just so ugly. And so you can imagine we're the only ones walking around high school just like this, and it was so embarrassing. Like, we stuck out like a sore thumb. Everyone in our classes, we were like, why aren't you dressed like this? Like, what are you doing? And everyone, of course, dressed up the next day, but it was literally just that day. I don't know if they forgot or if they were just like, yeah, we're not doing that. But I don't know. It was super embarrassing. Yeah, it was very interesting. But if you ever need an outfit, just let me know. I got you. So in the upside down kingdom that we've been talking about, one of the big things that's kind of weird is that we are different. We look different. We are made to be set apart, and we're made just to be different. So I want to talk to you guys about how we're called to stand out tonight. And we are going to look at that in 1 Peter 1, if you want to turn there, and your Bibles are on your phones. And if you don't have it, we'll have it up on the screen for you guys to follow along. Downstairs, we've been in a series about exiles in 1 Peter, which is really cool because this will connect super well. So we're going to be looking at verses 15 and 16, and it says, "But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, since it is written, 'You shall be holy, for I am holy.'" So what's really cool about this passage is that when it says, "You shall be holy, for I am holy," that's an actual quote from God, which is really weird because we hear a lot of quotes from Jesus. Like, Jesus in the New Testament is talking all the time. You might even have one of those Bibles that's like the red ink whenever Jesus is talking. But you don't really hear quotes from God the Father that often. So one of the questions that I want to ask you guys tonight is, are you just like God? Because it says in here, "You shall be holy, for I am holy." Do we reflect God? Do we look just like him? Do we even know how to be holy and how to live set apart lives from the world? Because we're supposed to be set apart from the world, but also live in it. And that's a really tough thing to kind of understand. So one thing that I want to talk to you guys about tonight is how Peter puts us back in the Hebrew mindset. So he's taking us back to Leviticus, and he talks to us in Leviticus 11:44 and also in Leviticus 19:2. And he's putting us back in this Hebrew mindset when he's talking to the Israelites. Israelites and Hebrews are like the same thing, interchangeable. And he's talking to them in Leviticus when they're in the Exodus, when they are exiles, which means they're foreigners, they don't have a home. So they're coming from Egypt and they're going towards the promised land and they're super confused why they're in this time. But God is talking to Moses and Aaron in these passages and he's telling Moses and Aaron what to say to the Israelites. So it's kind of like playing telephone. Like, God talks to Moses and Aaron and then they talk to the Israelites, but hopefully like they don't get the message wrong because it's from God. So he is telling them, like, hey, you need to be holy just like I'm holy. And one little side note is that I love Exodus and Leviticus. If you've never read those books, I highly recommend them. They talk a lot about God's love for us and the way that he pursues us, even when we're disobedient, because the Israelites are constantly like, okay, God, we understand, and then they disobey. And then they're like, okay, we come back, we understand, and then they disobey. And that's exactly what we do. And so it's cool to read those books and kind of understand, like, this is the history, and we need to learn from that history. So in Leviticus 11:44, where this quote comes from, God is talking to the Israelites about being clean and what to eat and touch. And so he's telling them, like, hey, you don't want to, like, eat the blood from animals or touch the blood from animals, all these things. But now we don't have to do that because Jesus came back and told us, hey, what really makes you dirty, what makes you unclean comes from the heart. It comes from the inside. That's what defiles you. So That's what he says when he's talking about being holy like him in Leviticus 11:44. And then in Leviticus 19:2, God gives more commands on how the Israelites should live. So I decided to look at some of those weird rules found in Leviticus. If you've ever read them, there's like a ton of really weird things that God gave the Israelites to be set apart. So I wanted to read some of my favorites. One of them is eating only animals that have divided hooves and chew cud. Second one is if you have a swelling, rash, or shiny spot on your skin, you have to be examined by a priest. Another one is you must not eat the blood of any creature. And then there's all those like weird, unlawful sexual relation laws, and there's like a lot of them, so you can read those on your own because they're pretty weird. And then there's do not plant your field with two kinds of seeds. So you can't have like tomatoes and lettuce in the same field. And then there's do not wear clothing woven of two kinds of material. So look at your shirt. Unless you're wearing 100% cotton, it's woven with two kinds of material. So check yourselves on that one. And then there's do not cut the hair on the sides of your head or clip off the edges of your beard. And there's also do not put tattoo marks on yourselves. Yeah, so those are some of my favorites. These are all in Leviticus. And back then, these were things that people would do if they were trying to please other gods. So that's why God is telling them these things, because he's trying to make his people that follow him, the one and only God, separate from all these other religious people around them. He wanted them to be set apart, and he wanted them to look different and just be distinct from all these people. But he wanted them to be set apart. He didn't want them to be weird. Okay, there's a difference in that, because then no one would want to be a Christian if they were weird. Like, he wants them to be set apart. So Peter's referring back to this in Leviticus and the fact that we should become holy like God, because that's a starting point for us as Christians. This is how we should live in the midst of those around us, because then we can have conversations about Jesus. We can lead others to him by the way that we act and the way that we love and the way that we speak to those around us. So Peter's writing to these people. They're following Jesus. So this is, we're going back to 1 Peter. So those were just reasons why he quoted Leviticus. So he's talking to the people that are in exile. It's just like what we've been talking about in Big Church downstairs. These people that are new Christians, they're like the aliens at the time. And so he's trying to tell them like, hey, this isn't easy. Like, suffering is gonna come with being a Christian. This is a hard thing. And another little side note, if you guys think that being a Christian is cool and being a Christian is easy and is like the thing to do, that's not true. Like, that's not why we're called to be Christians. It's not supposed to be easy. Like, it's going to bring a lot of suffering. It's not supposed to be cool. So just wanted to side note on that. So try to think about your motives if that's, like, why you think that you should be a Christian. So Peter's also reminding the church that God is with them in their suffering. He's reminding them that God is going to empower them to live holy lives. And we're also called to live in holiness in every area of our lives. Like, he's not just talking to the Christians back then. He's not just talking to these people that are new Christians and are spreading out to different areas. He's talking to us too. So we see in here that God himself is holy. Like it says, you shall be holy for I am holy. And that's God talking. So what does holy really mean? Does anybody know what holy means? Crickets, crickets. All right, so good thing I took the liberty to Google it for you guys, because that's what you do when you don't know what something means. And Google said that holy means dedicated to God, one perfect in goodness and righteousness, set apart and different from those around you, and showing others that you're different. So pretty much what we've been talking about. But the big thing is dedicated to God. And a lot of times I think we look at being holy as something that's scary and something like we can't live up to. Like, only priests can do that. Only pastors can do that. Only, like, the Pope can be holy. But that's not true. And a lot of times we might look at it as negative, something that's really hard. Like, we can't do that. I can't live set apart and, like, be with all these people. Like, that is not an easy thing to do. But it's God's design for us to be distinct. Like, that's what he's saying. He's saying, I am holy, so you guys should be holy. And you're supposed to stick out as a Christian. Like, that's the thing. Like, you might feel like you're sticking out, like, in the midst of all of your friends, but you're supposed to. So this isn't in a I'm better than you kind of way. It's more of I'm a light in the darkness kind of way. And so that's why I brought this lamp up here, to show you that That's what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be a light in the world. So really quick, Scott, can you cut off all the lights for me? Okay, so it's not purely dark, but if you have ever been in a purely dark room, your eyes kind of freak out. It's kind of like you're blind and they don't know where to go. So right now your eyes are probably going towards the screen or the exit signs. But, okay, so now your eyes are probably going towards this. Sorry, I couldn't find the string for a second. I just wanted, you know, sit in it a little bit. But now your eyes are probably going towards this. They've been searching for this light. And when we live differently in a way that glorifies God and points people to Jesus, this is how we are. We're a light in the darkness. We attract people. It's where people want to go. It's what they're drawn to. All right, Scott, you can bring the lights back up. Thanks. Appreciate it. So this is a light in the darkness kind of thing. We're not above people. And if you guys were in big service when Maddie D preached this, he said, we're set apart, we're not set above. And I want you guys to think about that. We're set apart, we're not set above. So we're not above other people just because we're Christians. We're just supposed to be a light in the world. We're just supposed to attract people. We're supposed to show people that we have a hopeful life, not a hateful presence. And show them that we have a living hope in Jesus, and that's why we strive to live holy, set apart lives. We don't want to be exclusive. We don't want to be hateful in their presence because that's not going to point them to Jesus. That's not going to bring them back here. So you're probably like, Rachel, how do we live holy lives? Like, what does this look like? Great question, because that's what I always thought. Growing up in church, like you hear holy, you hear set apart, and you're like, okay, cool. I don't know what that means. How do I do this without being weird? And how do I do this without being exclusive or polarizing to people? Because you don't want to like push people away. You want to draw them towards yourself. So the first thing that I want to challenge you guys to do is love radically. In John 13, Jesus shows us an example of this as he loves his disciples well to the end. He knows that he's about to die soon and he wants to love them well. And so he washes all of their feet. The King of Kings becomes a servant and he washes all of their feet and loves them really well. And I don't know, has anyone ever like washed their friend's feet? I kind of doubt it. I've never washed my friend's feet. Don't think it's a super common thing to do. I don't really want to wash your feet. You probably don't want to wash my feet. And so that's like a really loving thing to do. Like that is, I'm getting down on the ground and going to touch your dirty feet. And so that's what Jesus is showing them. And he is giving us an example of that. Like, do we really love people well? Do the people around you in your bubble, do they love you really well? Your parents might love you well. Your siblings might love you well. Your friends might love you well. But I don't think as a world we show radical love very well. There's so many examples of hate right now. Even last week when we were praying about the New Zealand shooting, like that is a lot of hate going on. And to make it more personal, a couple of you guys know this, but in October, there was a school shooting at my high school in Charlotte, at my high school. And it wasn't like someone was coming like to attack the high school. It was like a student-on-student shooting and the boy died. Like that is so hateful. And that's like right where we live. Even things like how our government officials treat each other or like families splitting up because of abuse and stuff. Like we just don't see a lot of radical love in our world today. It's a really rare thing. And it's something that isn't supposed to advance our agenda. It's not something that is like, you get brownie points because you're loving someone really well. It's not something to just like check off the box. We're just supposed to love people well. And being set apart doesn't mean like staying away from people. It doesn't mean like you stand in that corner while everyone else is over here because you're like set apart. It means coming towards the people that Jesus spent his whole life going after. So these are the people that need God's love the most. Your enemies, which sounds like a harsh word, like just for high schoolers, but you might have enemies already, or the people that annoy you the most in class right now. Those are the people that need God's love the most and need to hear about it from you. The second thing that I want to challenge you guys on is living differently. And that's a big thing, like being set apart, is living differently than the rest of the world. And we need to take joy in the things that we do for other people, just like Jesus did while washing his disciples' feet. We need to take joy in being good citizens, being good neighbors. Those are things that we even talked about this morning at Global Outreach Sunday today. People should pick up on how you live differently. If you've ever seen Amish people, I think I have seen them in person, but if you've seen Amish people like on TV and stuff and they don't use electricity or Wi-Fi or anything, you're like, why are you living that way? Like, who told you to live that way? That's just kind of strange. And you pick up on it. Like, you want to know why they live that way. And that's how people should be with me and with you. Like, they should want to ask, why are you living that way? Like, why do you invite the kids sitting by themselves in the cafeteria to sit at your lunch table? Why do you wake up early in the morning to spend time in your Bible and pray? Why are you nice to this kid that everyone else thinks is so annoying in your class? I mean, those are the things that people should ask why. Making those choices that honor God's word. In Matthew 5:16, it says, let your light shine before men so that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. And so these things aren't things to check off your boxes, like, oh, did this in the morning, my quiet time, did this, I was nice to this kid. But these should be good deeds so that other people can see your love for Jesus, so that they can see why you do that and praise your Father in heaven. Like, it's not things for us to build our agenda on. So this isn't legalism. I want you guys to hear that. Like, this is not legalism. We grow up with a lot of legalism here in the South, where you think that you need to do all these things to earn God's love. Like, that's not what it's saying when it's saying to do these good deeds. It's to give praise to God. We need to be people of hope and not hate. And just like this light was magnetic to your eyes, we need to be magnetic to the people around us. Jesus was so magnetic to the people around him. Like, you see everywhere in the New Testament, everywhere that Jesus goes, there's like crowds of people flooding. And they're like, why is this guy like this? Why is he performing these miracles? He was so magnetic, and that's how you and I need to be too. So the third thing that I want to challenge you guys on is inviting openly. This is a big thing in our student ministry at Fellowship Greenville. You might have seen like out in the cafe area or even on our t-shirts, they say, belong, believe, become, the three B's. And there's a reason that we have belong first. A lot of people probably are like, why does it not say believe first? Like, this is a church. You need people to believe in Jesus. And we want people to believe in Jesus. But first, we want them to feel like they belong here. We want to open people, like have open arms for people. And we want them to have social belonging before spiritual belief. That's a big thing. And we kind of want to drill that into your head. So that's why we have it everywhere. But I don't want you guys to close the door on people. Like, I want you to be there with open arms. I want you to invite them openly, and that's how they're going to see that you're set apart. That's how they're going to see that you live differently. So I want to encourage you guys that we can do this. We can live set apart and holy lives. We can do this without being weird. We can do this without being rude or polarizing and pushing people away. And we can do this by the help of the people sitting around you, the person to your right and to your left. Like, we are a church, and we're the people that are set apart. And we can do this by loving radically and living differently and inviting openly. So I want to challenge you guys to think about the ways that you love and the ways that you live and the ways that you invite people. Like, are you inviting people into your lives, like unbelievers? Are you inviting people here to church? Are you inviting them into your homes to hang out with you? Because that's where they're going to see that you live differently than the rest of the world. So I want you guys to remember how my friends and I stood out on that day of senior week. I want you guys to remember how the Israelites stood out when they couldn't plant two kinds of seeds in the same field or even cut their hair on the side of their heads like the people around them. And I want you guys to remember this lamp up here and how your eyes were drawn to it. I want you guys to remember all those things and how they're different, how those things are set apart, and that's how you guys are supposed to be too. We're meant to stand out as followers of Jesus. I don't want you guys to think that we're just supposed to be part of the world. Because we are living in the world, but we're supposed to be so different from the world. So, I want to challenge you guys. Let's hold each other accountable. Let's love radically and be so different from the world. I really hate watching the news because it makes me sad. Like, it makes me see all the hate in the world. And so, we're the people that can change it. Like, everyone always says, like, the generation coming up, we need to rise up and be the people that love people around us. We need to be people that live differently, people that look so much differently, that invite people around us in, and invite people into this church. So I want to challenge you guys on this week. And yeah, I want to be set apart people for God. So I'm going to close this in prayer, and then we're going to continue worshiping. Jesus, would you just touch our hearts right now, Father? Lord, I just pray that we would live set apart lives. Father, that we would be holy like you are holy, that we would start to reflect your holiness to the people around us. Father, that we would be lights in this world. And Jesus, I just pray that you would touch the hearts of the people that we interact with this week. Lord, I pray that we would hold each other accountable on this as a church, as a student ministry. Lord, I pray that we would have great stories of being different and that we wouldn't be scared to be different, but Lord, we would want to be different because that's what you've called us to be. You've called us to be distinct and set apart. So Father, thank you for these students. Thank you that they are different. And Lord, I just pray that you would work through us this week as we invite people around us into your kingdom. In your name I pray.